Welcome back. The Infinite Playlist of Geek Network is here and ready to add the juiciest of tunes for your listening pleasures. I am your host, Host Wayne, and this week's theme is side projects. But first, let's see who's around the table. We got ourselves a little bit of Crozen.
Hello.
And of course, T-Dog.
You got a lot of bit of T-Dog.
Oh, I got a lot of bit of T-Dog. Nice. And of course, as always, we have our boy Keith.
Yo, I thought this was going to be like a Mambo Number 5 thing. With a little bit of Monica. And I was like, all right, let's do this.
I didn't even hear it myself. Yeah, it's been an interesting week in music. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, some stuff has come out, and a lot of surprising stuff has come out. And I've just been... It's been a good week of music. So do you guys
want to... A lot.
Yeah. You guys wanna, I'll kick it over to recommendations this week. Who wants to go first?
I can go first if you guys want.
Go for it.
So, based off of last week, if you haven't heard it, was the Ladies' Night episode where we were talking about, female leads. And I had a few picks that didn't make it because it wasn't just like one female lead. So one of the ones that didn't make my cut was the Mary Jane Girls. And for those who don't know, they're the ones who actually sing the hook on the Rick James song Mary Jane, hence the name the Mary Jane Girls. And I just like ran into like their greatest hits, and it just takes me back. Like the song that I want to recommend is All Night Long. And if you were a child, the 80s, early 90s, and this song came on, this is a jam. The song All Night Long, and it has that really dope ass easy 1-2 beat and shit, and just, forgot how much I love that song, and I hadn't heard it in so long, and I got it, and I think I've been playing it every hour since I bought it, for just to review it for the last week's episode. So yeah, Mary Jane Girls got a great discography. Well, not a discography, I think they only had the one album, but really dope album it was. So yeah.
Nice. Crescent, what'd you listen to this week?
I've been listening to a lot of folk music, mainly Layla Diane.
Nice.
Her first album, The Pirate's Gospel, is just an amazing folk album. A lot of great songs on there. The song I recommend the most is Foreign Tongues, which is my favorite song from the album. Mm. Yeah, it's just great folk music, just acoustic guitar, and just really great lyrics. Also from that, I've been listening to another band called Any Other, which is just, it's kind of in the same vein, just like folk music, but it's a little bit more grungier. Like it's like folk music with an electric guitar, basically. And like a lot of distorted sounds to it. And it's a female lead as well, and she's like really great at it. The band is called Any Other, if you guys want to check it out. And other than that, still listening to the J Electronica album, because I'm always recommend that to everybody.
Nice. I'll be honest, I still haven't gotten a chance to go around it. We just do so much, and I can never get around to it. Keith, what did you listen to this week?
This is the first week in a long time I really jumped deep into the new releases and actually tried to get as many as I could listen to.
Nice.
I started with, and I know I'm going to get a laugh out of you guys, but I started with Jason Mraz, because I always like Jason Mraz. I really genuinely like Jason Mraz. I think he is a fun dude. I think he actually has some really, really good songs, especially going to his earlier albums before I'm Yours and all that hit big.
Right.
It's fun stuff. He's really cool. Curbside Prophet, for instance, awesome, great fucking song. So I listened to the new album of his. It's a Jason Mraz album. If you've listened to any of his recent stuff where he's more kind of like that COD reggae style, it's that. It's a whole album of it. It's really cool to sit and chill to. It's nothing special. But I enjoyed it. I'll throw it on in the background when I'm working or something. That's fine. I also listened to the new Neil Young album, which is pretty good. I liked it, but the unfortunate thing for the Neil Young album is I immediately followed it up with the new Bob Dylan album, which is similar but much better. So the new Bob Dylan is great. It's his first time releasing a like original set of tracks in like over 10 years. So it's his first album in that long, and man, there's some just great songwriting, just amazing lyrics in it. So That's really good. And that would have been my recommendation of the new weeks or new releases this week if I didn't then listen to the John Legend album. Ooh. And the John Legend album is really good. I really like it. It's really good to chill out to. He does a song with Gary Clark Jr., and I fucking love Gary Clark Jr. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's really good. I really enjoy it. It's also a very optimistic album. And nowadays, that's kind of, you know, a good thing. We need some kind of happiness in the world. Yeah. So, and then I never say her name right. Is it Janae Aiko?
Janae Aiko.
Yeah, he does a song with her, which is really good, Ooh. Called You Move, I Move. Check that one out. That's the two. Yeah, those are the two tracks that I'd recommend. Is that one and the one with Gary Clark Jr., which is called Wild. So, yeah. And then other than that, I just listened to the Norah Jones album over and over again because it's amazing.
Yeah,
and
right.
Literally, I everything I'm doing that's probably playing in the background unless I'm watching TV, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just great. So that's what I'd recommend. Yeah.
Yeah, your weekly dose of Snot's Tragedy, amazing. Lady Gaga's Chromatica, perfect. And yeah, now Norah Jones is like super, super dope new album. Now let's get down to what actually came out this week. Lamb of God album. This is one of the greatest metal albums that could have been if it wasn't for the fucked up drums.
I was gonna say,
god damn it. Like, I wanted to come, like, I was waiting for it to just listen all together, and it's just not what I'm used to. Like, there's a standard for Lamb of God, the sound that comes out of like every band, and that's why they're recognizable. One of the things is why I have my favorite drummer was from this band, Chris Adler. Fuck, like, the complexity of his drumming and into this band was fucking A, perfect. And now this one, it just sounds like it was just mixed very poorly on the drums. So everybody sounds awesome. Like Randy, John, like Mark Morton, and fucking Willie. Like, fucking the guitars are great. Some of the greatest new riffs, like New Colossal Hate, is awesome. And then it just gets mixed on like this weird noise that just seems like, was it like Art Cruz just has like a fucking like the snare in front of him. And maybe like the hi-hat and like two cymbals in front of him. That's all he uses. Like, it's so hard. You have to like listen. You have to pay the fuck attention to see if there's even like something of a double pedal. It just sounds like so hard rock. And it just, God, I'm just so pissed. Like, it doesn't get good until the last two songs. It sounds like where there's just some sort of individuality to the drums into like the songs. Other than that, it just sounds like the shyest shit ever. And to call it the fucking, like, they're self-titled, and you're gonna do it without your fucking boy, like, just maybe to set like the new, but not like this. Even like it kind of reminds me of Slipknot with like the Great Chapter, the fifth album without a Paul.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan of it. Like, it honestly, it didn't get good until like the next album. And kind of for the same reason, there's a lot of things where the sound sounded weird, and it just sounded almost forced. But that's a conversation for another day. But yeah, but I'm saying, like, the second album got good because it seemed like they were able to get something collectively together and be confident with it. This is not, especially when the drums are just so fucking important to metal. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I didn't like this at all. So
I would say to all music, man, with the exception of country, the drums is what sells the song.
Yeah. Just, I mean, like, you go back and it's like, listen to this album all the way through, and it's like, you know what, that's a good metal album. I'm gonna tell you, it could have been so much fucking better, because listen, and then go back to a random assortment of songs of like all the albums with Chris Adler, and you're gonna feel like the drums, like being like everything incorporated it at the same time. Like, I'm very disappointed because it's one of my favorite bands. I saw these guys in fucking high school. It was one of my favorite things of like my accomplishments to just be able to do and see the Wall of Death and fucking Black Label. God damn it. A lot of great memories to this band. And I was just very disappointed with something. I was so fucking excited.
Yeah, I think Slipknot was a good example because Slipknot is defined by the percussion, period.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had fucking three of them.
Yeah, like, it's great. It's what makes them so great and so different. So, yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, that happened. And then I was on Twitter for like a while, and then I got in trouble on Twitter. I'm on Twitter now, guys. Like, you can't do anything but watch Twitter. Mm. And what I came to find out this week is that my boy Chris Sadler made a fucking record of his own with the bassist from Megadeth. the reason why Chris Sadler left the band is that he stopped touring was he was in a motorcycle accident. And so that's why he couldn't tour. And he got replaced by like the dude who's been replaced now. That happened in 2017. 2 years later, that's when he said, like, you know, I'm officially out of the band. And a lot of rumors happened, like, oh, you're just leaving because you want to join Megadeth? Because he was doing both of them at the same time. Around 2015, 2017 for the Megadeth Dystopia, because he did the drums for that record, too. So I'm bothered with that. I was like, oh, you just left so you could go and join them. It's like, no, it's not really it. But it's because he's going to fucking do an amazing fucking solo record or like a duo record. It's hard to tell. Like, I can't find really personnel who else was in it. But it's awesome. Like, oh, because it's not like exactly like Lamb of God. But again, like, you feel drums in this. Like, I'm not a drummer. Like, I've never had a drum set. I've always wanted to. I've always loved one. I got to play like drums for like two weeks because my old drummer left it in my house for 1 second. But I'm more of a guitarist. So I pay attention to like when it sounds fucking awesome because it impresses me like a lot. And this one, it sounds awesome. Like, so the band's called Firstborn. Yeah, it's a self-titled Firstborn. It's only a 5-song EP. Listen to it because it's fucking dope. It's good shit.
Nice.
So it went from like a low to like I ended up on a super high, and all centered around Lamb of God because, man, I love Lamb of God. One of the greatest metal bands of all time. So yeah. I needed that rant, so thank you guys. I don't think I've listened to anything else besides like the stuff I had to circle for this playlist. So let's get down to it. Side projects. It was hard up until, especially today, when we had to make freshen up the rules. Side project. Yeah. When people are too busy and they say, hey, let's make another band with other people. And sometimes it ends up being super, super dope. Sometimes better than the main band. Yeah, like, how'd you guys do about your side projects, especially today?
Well, as an artist, and I don't want to sound like that guy. It's like, as an artist, blah, blah, blah. But I don't really believe in side projects, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't think there's such a thing.
Ooh, like, good take.
Yeah, because as an artist, I mean, you know, some people just do one thing. Some people do multiple things. So if you're an artist like myself, I like make music and I make comics and, you know, I do all types of different shit. So like, I'm doing it all at the same time. So technically everything's a side project. And I feel like most artists are like that. Like, you know, a lot of times you'll see an artist who's a solo artist and will get with a super group, or, you know, like you were talking about, you know, your favorite drummer, he'll drum for two bands at the same time. And both are valid projects. And if you're an artist, like, you're going to lend your talent to whatever you like or believe in. So I don't think necessarily that the term side project, I think, is something that is made by people who aren't doing that. If that makes any sense. So they're like, okay, well, this is their side project. And I'm like, okay, well, technically, I guess I can see where you're coming from. But at the same time, I'm sure the artist is like, oh, this is my side project. Like, no, this is both things I'm passionate about. So they're both my project. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I love it. I actually love that thing. So I actually want to hear Frozen after that.
Well, as an artist, and I don't want to be that guy.
right.
No, yeah, I think side projects, I really enjoy side projects. If you could call it that, like, I don't, like, T-Dog, I don't really think, like, I don't think you can make a project and call it a side project if you're not putting the same energy as you would as your anything else. Like,
right.
You have to, I think the same energy goes into anything anybody does, or I hope so, I would hope so, I at least hope nobody's just, like, half-assing something else and putting something else out like that, but I had this particular theme, I was kind of hard for me because I have so many. Like, it's weird because when I listen to side projects, like, it starts, a lot of my side projects are in the same circle of, like, the same, like, 10 bands. They all just, like, work with each other and go different directions. Like, this drummer and this guitar player will put out an album. And then the bass player from that project will do one with somebody. It's like all in the same circle almost. It's like some of them can go endless, actually. So this was actually kind of hard to like actually settle on three, but I think I like my picks that I picked. So
nice. Fuck yeah. And Keith,
Oh, you guys know, we talked about it earlier. I struggled pretty hard with this one because
worth a little bit.
Defining a side project is so difficult because if you have a person who was famous for a certain band and then they start a second band after that band is done, then that's not technically a side project. That's their new band. So yeah, we have to have some kind of, you know, still operating as a band at the same time. And we're kind of discussing that. And there's so many, like, of the ones I would think of that would just, like, literally, I'll mention it, and these are honorable mentions for mine, was Jane's Addiction or Porno for Pyros, who I love both of them. I adore those bands. They're amazing. But they literally were just, Porno for Pyros only existed because Jane's Addiction kept breaking up. So they never over actually left. So it's just like, oh, that was frustrating. So, and it's more difficult being that I'm not nearly as much into hip-hop as the rest of you guys. Because I know stuff like you guys mentioned recently, the Scots, you know, like that's just a quick and easy side project. Boom. They have a side project done. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't work like that for rock bands. A lot of rock bands, if they're going to put out an album and they have to write it, record it, and then they have to do an extensive tour, and rap stars don't really do the tours that rock stars do. Yeah, so that's such a big part of their career is if you're going to have a side project, you don't just, you can't half-ass it, if you will, as a rock star. So it's kind of like, it's not like you're going to spend a weekend with your friends, put out an EP, and then forget about it. So, yeah, it was kind of difficult to do that. But I got some good choices and kind of a nice variety of genre, I think, too. So,
yeah, I think if we're getting down, like, specific ruling on, like, hip-hop or something, it's like, because, yeah, you're right, they did, like, so many times and back and forth, so many different times, and how many times you get together if it's not a special event. So I don't know, like, as long as there's like maybe like five, like an EP up or up into a record would kind of be a side project. Like it's an effort more so than just a single, a radio single. Side projects that would have been like the, I guess like the term for it, but no, I totally hear you guys of like, and the reason why I sometimes love these side projects more than the main band, quote unquote main band, is because I assume they give their all to these quote unquote side projects. And it's just like the different take on like how come these songs don't work out, or like let's just say right now, Chino Moreno has so many fucking different ones. How does he like write certain songs for certain bands for the other bands and not something for Deftones? Even though when you hear him, where you kind of break down the lyrics, even Deftones, he's all over the place being emo and then hard as fuck. Like, how did you break down some of those songs to split them around? So it's kind of like, it's always interesting, like, why they do these things or where they choose these musical paths going in different ways. So that's not kind of like side projects. It's just like, I don't know, a different effort, and it's always so much fun.
And it also, because we have a category still in the randomizer that is solo projects.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
right.
So we couldn't use solo projects because that's going to be around for that one. So it literally has to be like, the second project has to be a group, basically. So that's another thing that kind of complicated it. So,
cool. All right. So let's get down to our joke. My first one is probably my most controversial with like the ruling, because in the end it kind of became a side project for this person. I'm gonna go with fucking Sunny Day Real Estate. And that's gonna be because of fucking spinoff off of Foo Fighters with Nate Mendel. This is the main band for Nate Mendel, the bassist for Foo Fighters. He was bassist for Sunny Day Real Estate, but then they broke up, so he got with Foo Fighters. But then in the middle, I mean, and he's been with Foo Fighters ever since. But that's been this thing. That's been stated. In the middle of all that, Sunny Day Real Estate has been like on and off, and then with like the reunion. And then with like a potential maybe another album, but they've been since on a hiatus and kind of breakup because the drummer was also the first drummer for Foo Fighters. Dave kind of got Nate and the drummer for Sunny Day Real Estate, but he didn't really work out because it's Dave Grohl.
Yeah.
And then
Taylor came along and was the best.
So ever since that, like the fucking drummer, William something. He's been super fucking bitter and has since been like, it's because Dave Grohl has Nate on a leash and that's why we can't finish it, because he didn't like Nate's other projects, so he's not gonna let him finish his one. And Nate's just been like, no, that's not true. But the fact is that he since then kind of rejoined and then has since been cold. So that's, this side project has kind of counts. And so the song I'm picking from Sunday Day Real Estate is Seven from the song Diary, from their album Diary. That is the greatest fucking song. I really, really like the song. And it's like good 90s emo when it was like garage emo before it became like 2000s emo. Mm-hmm. No, it's got a great groove and a great vibe. I love this one a lot. So who's next? Who did I pick? Frozen, what's your next side project? What's your first side project?
All right. This is actually a side project that I'm really, really, really fond of. So Billy Joe Armstrong, in the height of early day Green Day, you know, they really broke out with Dookie, and that's where they like exploded. In between,
they did explode with Dookie.
Exactly. But in between the off years of Green Day, because Green Day generally put out an album every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So on the off year, he was part of a band called Pinhead Gunpowder, which is just like, if you define Green Day as pop punk, Pinhead Gunpowder is just like pure punk.
Punk like,
punk. Yeah. It's just like, just straight up like what you knew as punk before, like it all got mainstream and stuff. And
what you knew as punk before Green Day.
Yeah. So, the band is called Pinhead Gunpowder, and the song I'm picking is Song of My Returning off their album Grand Elston Avenue. It's just a great song, and it's like hearing, it's still Billy Joe's like classic voice that everybody knows him for, but it's just like a little bit harder, a little bit faster, but still really, really good.
Nice. Gotcha. Same time frame as the last one. All right, and up next, T-Dog, what's your first one?
Okay, so my first one is from a group called Lucy Pearl. If you've never heard of Lucy Pearl, they're an R&B supergroup from like late 90s, early 2000s. Originally, they were supposed to consist of Raphael Sadiq from Tony, 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 Ali Shaheed Muhammad from Tribe Called Quest, and then originally supposed to be D'Angelo. Unfortunately, D'Angelo, I guess, had to back out because of like scheduling purposes, so they instead got Don Robinson from En Vogue. And so, ooh. if you ever listen to them, they have a song called Dance Tonight, which is just like exactly what you would picture when you picture late 90s, early 2000s hip hop, just like a really, you know, cool, groovy kind of track. I mean, you had Alicia Lee Muhammad on, you know, on the production. So, you know, kind of that groovy Tribe Called Quest kind of beats. And then, you know, Raphael Sadiq and Don Robinson singing. So it was really, really good. Because I think they only made the one album. But my choice is Lucy Pearl, Dance Tonight.
Yeah, that sounds so fucking awesome. I never heard it.
Yeah, that's what I was like, ooh, that's on my list
so
already.
It's so good. If you guys never heard it, their album is dope. But yeah, I think they only did the one.
Nice. So, Keith, your first one.
All right, my first one. One of the controversies I had while trying to pick it was, okay, so you have Soundgarden and Rage Against the Machine, and then they break up. They don't go on hiatus. They break up. And then we get Audioslave, which is a combination of the two bands. And then they break up, not go on hiatus, and then we get the other two. And I was like, just fucking say hiatus so I can use you. I was annoyed because I really, really wanted to use them. And then I thought, wait a minute, Chris Cornell had another band. So my first choice is Temple of the Dog, Say Hello to Heaven.
Ooh.
Great fucking song. If you... get the Chris Cornell Greatest Hits album that came out after he passed away. It's on there, and it's a really good version of it too, but it's just a really great song. And honestly, if you think about it too much with him having been passed away, it's very fucking sad. But it's such a great song. So yeah, Temple of the Dog, Say Hello to Heaven. It is, I think they only put out the one album, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was during the time he was with Soundgarden, so it was in the early 90s. And it was like a tribute to the guy from Mother Love Bone, I can't remember his name. But yeah, and then it's people that would later go on to be in Pearl Jam too. So it's kind of a grunge supergroup before they were actually in Pearl Jam. So yeah. Yep. So Say Hello to Heaven, Temple of the Dog.
Nice. Cool. So my next one, we're going to talk a little bit more about Chris Adler here. So Chris Adler, back in 2013, started to be a good man because he is a great man, and was probably looking online and saw, yo, Protest the Hero doesn't have a drummer, and they kind of have him falling out with their label, and they ended up, like, there's a Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and they, like, managed, like, 6 digits, like to make their album, and he did the whole thing. Like, well, I mean, he did the drums for them on this one, so I'm going to count it because there was a little side piece back in 2013. This is actually how I kind of find this band, because there's, like, him posting it about it, but yeah, the song I'm going to go with is Yellow Teeth. It just goes to show, like, his great work. Where, like, this band is just, like, metal or, like, progressive metal. But it's anything, like, there's nothing like Lamb of God. But it's not, he's not trying to incorporate Lamb of God drumming in this one. He's doing, like, he does his style and he fits in this record and in their style, like, very well. And they do, like, a mathcore, fucking metalcore, progressive, post, hardcore, all that shit combined. So all that is not Lamb of God, but even still, like, he sounds fucking awesome in this one. And just, I hope you guys can come back for Lamb of God, maybe on the next record.
What was the name of the band?
Protest the Hero.
Okay.
So yeah, he just did the drums for this one record. Coincidentally, actually came up with the record this week, so that's pretty cool. Last week, but
nice.
We'll get to that a little bit in a second. But yeah, Chris Adler did his little side piece with Protest the Hero called Volition. The album was called Volition. The song is called Yellow Teeth. Super dope. The whole thing is awesome. Listen to it. Krizen, number two.
Number two. This is a side project slash supergroup called Bosnian Rainbows. This group consists of Omar Rodriguez Lopez from the Mars Volta, also the third drummer of the Mars Volta, Deontay Parks, and the singer is Terry Genderbender from Les Boucherettes. And I have a love-hate relationship with this particular band because it is a side project, but it's kind of the reason why Mars Volta ended up breaking up. Or, like, going away, quote-unquote.
Forever?
Not forever. They're supposed to come back, but... he swears they're coming back, but I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'll die if it happens. But, yeah, this it's a side project featuring Terry singing. She's, like, fucking great. And the song that I'm picking is the song Turtleneck. It's just a jam. Like, it's like a... starts off as like a slow mellow piece, but then the drums and the bass just start going off like really crazy, and then Omar comes in with guitars like just screeching out of nowhere, and it just really builds up to something really good. And yeah, it's like one of my favorite songs. So yeah, Bosnian Rainbows, Turtleneck.
So I was wondering if you're gonna pick any of those guys, like, because they do go around. There's a lot of bands like from them. So yeah, next, T-Dog.
Okay, so my next one is another supergroup made up of three solo artists, and that group is West Side Connection, made up of Ice Cube, Mac 10, and Dub C. Now, I'm from Arizona, so, and I'm also a hip-hop head, so that means I grew up on West Coast gangster rap. So the song I'm choosing from West Side Connection is Bow Down, just because that's our most well-known track, and probably the only track of theirs we're probably going to get on the playlist. Just a, you know, dope track. If you like West Coast hip hop, then, you know, this was the pinnacle of that. I think they were one of the three best, well, at the time, they were one of the three best West Coast gangster rap solo artists. So, yeah, West Side Connection, Bow Down. I'm pretty sure everybody's heard it, so it doesn't need much explanation.
That's great.
Yeah.
Dub C is so underrated. Like,
dude, I wanted to put him on the track. I'm waiting to put that one West Dub song from Dub C on here.
Yeah.
It hasn't fit in any categories yet, so when it does, that's going on the playlist.
Nice. How we calling DMs? Love it. All right, Keith, what's your second one?
All right, my second one, you guys know that I have a weakness for 80s pop, as long as it's done mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. I am the one who put fucking Duran Duran on this playlist. I'm actually nominating an artist that is not an 80s pop band, but is inspired by and sounds exactly like an 80s pop band in the best possible ways. This band formed when the band known as No Doubt went on hiatus when Gwen Stefani decided to be a diva and go do her solo thing. So Tom and Tony and Adrian formed a band called Dream Car. And the lead singer of Dream Car is Davey Havok.
Oh, really? Wait, what?
Yes.
I heard of this.
Yeah, from AFI. And it's an 80s pop band.
Get the fuck out.
It's fucking great. I forgot they existed until we were having that conversation earlier. I'm like, oh, Dream Car. So I immediately like put them on there. So the song I recommend is called Kill for Candy, but listen to the entire album because it's incredible. So if you don't mind like an 80s pop, like, yeah, like Duran Duran or, you know, all those songs, like it's such a great album. And yeah, just imagine Davey Havok having fun with 80s pop instead of being sad like he is always in AFI. Like
that sounds awesome.
It's literally him just having fun and they're all just goofing off and they never really made something big of it. It was only the one album, but I liked it more than the Gwen Stefani shit that was coming out at the time. So yeah. So once again, Dream Car, one word, Kill for Candy.
Fuck yeah. No, so nice. getting down to my last one. Yeah. I had to choose my boy Chino Moreno. One of his many, but his best one, Palms.
Yeah.
Palms is awesome. Palms came out in the self-titled album. Palms came out back in 2013. And to my surprise, was probably for a while, I probably loved it more than to Deftones. I probably still do. If they make another album. this shit was awesome. This shit is, I guess you can call it a super group. It consists of Chino Moreno's lead singer and I guess rhythm guitarist. And all of the band of ISIS, fucking the post metal group that together they just make this dope atmospheric metal album that Chino Moreno and ISIS could give you. I had some of my best highs back in 2013 to this album. Picture me in a dark, super dark room, turn on my record player, I put on my super dope, beautiful see through yellow, looks like a fucking sun. Oh, that's why, like a sunset. flip it to side B of the first one, and it's just the whole thing is just the one song, and it is my song, and it's Mission Sunset. This song, holy fuck, it just sets you up in a good mood, and then as Chino's gonna deliver his beautiful voice with I looked, it just hits you with the pew, and just and the chord it echoes throughout your entire body. It did for me every single time. And I got lost in this song. And God damn it. This thing is 47 minutes long and it's only six songs. And it's just, you just go on a fucking trip. And it's so great. Yeah, it's one of my favorite records of all time. Because shit, like they did something special here. And I want something else. Like it's been so, 7 years. You could have worked on this again, with them again. Why, Chino Moreno? It's like one Team Sleep project and like one Palms, probably one Crosses. What are you doing, dude? Anyway, I digress.
What song did you choose?
Mission Sunset.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Okay.
So yeah, up next, Crozen.
All right, honorable mentions real quick, because I had to cut a whole bunch. First honorable mention goes to Weird Science. Weird Science is actually the drummer of Coheed and Cambria. And he happens to have a rap career under the name Weird Science. And it is actually fucking great. Like, he's, like, all the albums that he's put out is, like, really, really good. He's very, very lyrical, very, very, like, underground hip-hop type stuff. It's fucking great, like, all his stuff. Check out his first album, Friends and Nervous Breakdowns. That's probably the album I would start with. But yeah, Weird Science is fucking awesome. Also, shout out to Dead by Sunrise, which is Chester Bennington's side project.
Oh, yeah.
That album is fucking great. It's basically him with Julian K backing him up. And yeah. It's a really good album. I really love it a lot. A lot of the songs are great. Sometimes it's good to get away from Mike sometimes, so it's a really good album.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go ahead and for my third and final pick, I have to go with Cianvar, Anticoagulant is the name of the song. Cianvar is a side project for Donovan Malero of Hail the Sun. Also features Will Swan of Dance Gavin Dance, Joseph Arrington of A Lot Like Birds. It's just like a super group of all these post-hardcore bands, and they decided to put out one album. They also have an EP, but the album is the one that's like really, really great, Stay Lost. And yeah, Anticoagulant is just a fucking amazing fucking track. It just goes so fucking hard, and it's like beautiful, and it's like one of my favorite tracks of all time. So yeah, so Anticoagulant by Cianvar.
Cianvar, nice. Those are dope. T-Dog, third and final pick.
Okay, so my last one here is one of my favorite quote-unquote side projects of all time. So I'm a huge fan of Jurassic 5. Jurassic 5 is a California-based hip-hop group that consists of two DJs and I believe 4 to 5 MCs, depending on when you're watching them perform. And one of the DJs is DJ Newmark, and one of the MCs is Charlie Tuna. They had a side project called Ozo Motley. Now, Ozo Motley, of course, the Aztec God of Dance, is a band that mixes hip-hop with, like, Spanish rock and, like, cumbia and salsa. And it is so dope.
Nice.
So, yeah, Ozo Motley is one of my favorite groups. So one of their side projects. I chose a song, unfortunately, that didn't have Charlie Tuna, but did have DJ Newmark, called Who Discovered America. And the song is just dope. Just, you know, really cool, you know, kind of Spanish rock jam. Just talking about, you know, how much this guy loves his girl, who's abusive to him, and ends up being America. It's really dope. So, yeah, Ozo Motley, Who Discovered America.
Excellent, excellent. And Keith, you want to close it off?
Okay. I have so many honorable mentions, I can't even...
I know.
Yeah. I have to mention Porno for Pyros again. I love Porno for Pyros, and the fact they haven't come up yet, like, really messes me up, because I really like them. They did come back from the remains of Jane's Addiction, which is another amazing band that I don't think we put on here, which is weird. I also have to give a shout-out, even though I put them on the list already, them Crooked Vultures.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to repeat. That's the only reason they're not on here. I'll be flat-out honest. And then my number 5 and number 4 picks, Twin Forks, the side project for Chris Kravis that I talk about constantly. I had it on here for his song Kiss Me Darling. It's really great. It's just fun, folky, like, songwriting music. It's great. And then something that felt a little too on the nose for me is the Rockin' Tours, Steady As She Goes.
Oh, yeah.
Great song, but a little too on the nose, and yeah. But my final pick is going to be for a side project to a singer that I really, really enjoy. And honestly, day to day, it goes back and forth. Do I prefer the original band or the side project? And that is the Postal Service.
Oh, no shit.
And I'm going to put Be Still My Heart. I love the Postal Service. I really do. And it is a kind of a super group as well. Although, you know, it's not like superstars, but they're all genuine musicians on their own or with their own bands and such, but it's literally them having fun. And it's Ben Gibbard. I love Ben Gibbard. If you can get your hands on it, get your hands on the 10th anniversary of their album Give Up, because it includes all the singles they released, which includes a bunch of, like, alternate cuts and B-sides, and it actually has covers of their songs by other bands on the album, which I don't think I've ever seen, you know, like I've seen other people, I've seen like, oh, this DJ remixed it, but I've never seen like this track doesn't feature the band at all, you know, like I thought that was kind of cool. And the two it has are, where is it? The Shins covering We Will Become Silhouettes and Iron and Wine covering Such Great Heights. So it's a really, really good album. Now, the song Be Still My Heart is not on the original album. It was released as a B-side on the single, but it's still my favorite song of theirs, and it should be available because it's on the 10th anniversary edition as well. So, yep. Okay.
Awesome. Yeah, great picks all around. Before I close there, my honorable mention were Julian Casablancas and The Voids. It was hard to pick, narrow one down, and then just like, I couldn't really pick one. Honestly, I'm a big fan of Angels and Airwaves. I love Tom DeLonge when he's at his alien nerdy self, and This is all that.
Honestly, hot take, I like Angels and Airwaves more than Blink-182.
And a big take on that, like, don't get me wrong, Travis Barker is great, but overrated. To be honest, Adam Willard, drummer over when he was with Angels and Airwaves, now with Against Me, so it's kind of a win-win, loss-loss kind of scenario. But yeah, the drummer, Adam Willard, that's why I listen to this shit, like, because he fucking hits the drums, like, he's can buy a fucking new one tomorrow. So that's one of the reasons why I do kind of prefer also Angels and Airwaves. After that, yeah, Juju Fontaine. Sorry, I couldn't make the list, but I thought about fucking 2468 so much. And then lastly, with Alex Turner, The Last Shadow Puppet was kind of like The Voids. I couldn't really narrow one down. That was kind of like, I'll come back with this The Last Shadow Puppet. This is a good shit if you like don't want your Arctic Monkeys, but you still want your Alex Turner because he's got that sexy voice. Flash out of
nice.
But
I actually had one more honorable mention I forgot to mention. Bleachers. Bleachers is the band for Jack Antonoff, the guitarist for Fun. And Bleachers is really, really cool. And I think they're Arizona based, if I remember correctly. No, he's from New Jersey. Never mind. It's one of the it's Steel Train, I think, is the one that's no, they're from Jersey as well, never mind. Anyways, they did a tour, a local tour in Arizona, and my friend, who's a huge Fun fan before the big album came out, went and saw it and really liked it and got me into Bleachers. So check out Bleachers. It's different than Fun, and a lot of people will probably like it way more than Fun. So yeah.
Nice. I know I prefer the format over Fun.
Yeah, and Steel Train, is that they all have a solo thing. So Fun is kind of a supergroup. People don't really realize that.
Yeah. Yeah, good shit around this playlist. A lot of stuff on. Yeah, I was in for T-Dog's picks. I don't think I really listened to like the his picks.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited for that too. Yeah.
They're pretty good, guys. Pretty good.
So, all right, let's start closing it off. It's kind of early to pick. So I'd say like new releases. We're recording this a little earlier than usual. But anything you can find, Keith.
So I don't have dates on these, but, I have coming soons and I'm trying to see if any of them have a date. Ellie Goulding has a new album coming out and I'm pretty excited about that. If you are a country fan, there's a new Luke Bryan album coming out. I am not, so we're going past that. Dixie Chicks have a new album coming out. I kind of respect the Dixie Chicks, you know? Like, when it was unpopular to be a country star and hate Bush, they did it. So, props. I'm trying to think if there's anything else.
My last take on the Dixie Chicks is that I was at a party where, like, this dude got kicked out because he decided to say these words out loud in front of, like, the host of the party. He said that he preferred the Dixie Chicks cover of Landslide over fucking Fleetwood Mac, and he was fucking out the door, dude. It was the funniest fucking thing ever.
That's great. Yeah, that's an incorrect opinion. There's also an Alicia Keys album coming out, apparently. And nice. Also Disclosure. Along with what you just said, I have a funny story. I have a friend, she was trying to find a new girlfriend, and she was kind of lonely, and she's dating, she was like doing the dating app thing, and she went on a date with this girl, who told, she's Hispanic, by the way, my friend. Her friend told her that J-Lo was a better Selena than Selena, and she broke up with her right there.
Oh my God. That's the worst thing you could ever say.
I know. I still laugh about that sometimes. We talk about it. And when we bring it up, she gets visibly angry. This is, by the way, this is the same girl that I told you guys about that when we'd have a house party, we'd all, you know, get a little tipsy, and then she'd be like, just let me play one Selena song. And we're like, no, because we're going to listen to Selena the rest of the night if you do it. And it happens every time. And she still does it. And then she starts crying and starts telling me the story of Selena.
Like you don't know it. Yeah,
like the future we could have had of like who she could have collaborated, the shit she could have done. No, you get emotional thinking of like all the hype. Yeah. All of the hype.
Yeah, she didn't even get a chance to date a 90s rapper, dude. That's sad.
She could have made a song with Pitbull.
Yeah, it would have been a banger. Exactly.
Actually, yeah. I would be okay with her doing one with like a couple people. Now I think about
Selena
it.
Selena and Ja Rule. You kidding me? We never get that song.
She could have been on Despacito.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. That could have been Selena.
Something that I think Jose will appreciate. It's actually the 20th anniversary of White Pony.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And
damn, 20 years?
Yeah.
I'm so old.
Yeah, they actually announced they're reissuing the album alongside a remix album called Black Stallion.
Get the fuck out. Cool.
Dope.
Yeah, so that's... they didn't put a release date on it, just they said it's going to be out later this year, but that's something I'm definitely looking forward to.
Yeah. Hell yeah. No, like, White Pony is also another very important album. Like, Streetcar, Digital Bath, like, a lot of great fucking songs on that record. Fucking Passenger?
Passenger.
Yeah. Very important album. Yeah, nice. I would definitely want to get that remix album. But yeah, it's hard to say. So that's kind of new releases that we'll have coming up later. We'll definitely get more specific by next week. So far, thank you all so much for listening. Right, and next up, we have The Roulette. So we can cap off this episode.
So I'm proposing that we not randomize next week's. Because I have a category that I want to pitch. When this episode we're recording comes out, it will be the last day of June. And it'll be the last day of Pride Month. So I say our category should be LGBT Pride.
Let's fucking do it.
Okay. Cool. It was on my list anyway, so I could just take it off. So, yeah. Awesome. All right. Cool.
Excellent. Oh my God. Chromatica just came out. Can I do all of it? Man. Yeah. Okay. All right. Never mind. I got to shut myself down. Next week, we will be talking next week about Pride Picks, because this is going to be super dope. Sushi, get fucking ready. everybody, thank you so much for being here.
Get ready, Sushi. I'm coming for you.
Oh, for help me pick. We're going to brainstorm. We're probably going to fight over picks. It's never enough for three picks. Yo, like, we'll get, like, I know we have like our safety fourth one, but and it's kind of why like he's going back to this. Like, I'm kind of disappointed that we haven't had like these bands on here. It's kind of like, man, like, shit. Yeah, just make the cut, like, at last second. Like, you've all been there.
Yeah, man. I literally got my three 15 minutes before we recorded.
Yeah, sometimes I have, like, my thing, and then it's, like, last 2 days, like, yeah, no, I reevaluated, and it's like, shit. But thank you all so much for listening. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, works too. I'm always going to be here. you can definitely keep listening to us on anywhere there's podcasts. Definitely listen to the playlist on Google Play, Apple Music, and Spotify. Follow us everyone on GN Podcasts and visit that ever beautiful website geek-network.com. We're all on there and we all love you very much. Thank you all so much for keep supporting us, for doing that and keep doing that. We all love you very much. Thank you.
This has been a Geek Network production.